You're listening to a DM podcast.
Hello and welcome back to Beyond the Likes. It is your host, Amy Gerard, and I am joined today by a wonderful, I'm going to call you a friend, right?
Yes.
We've graduated to friends, started as Instagram friends, and now we're more than that, right?
Oh, I said I love you yesterday. My husband was like, what just happened?
I think I said I love you back.
I know.
If you say I love you, you're going to get it back from me.
It just came instantly.
It's nice. It's a nice way to finish a phone call. Sorry, your name? Sarah Chondros.
Oh, she nailed it.
But wait, if you're Greek, how do you say it?
Chondros.
Chondros.
Wait, I may have got that wrong.
So Sarah and I actually connected over Instagram. We do have a mutual friend in common, Lise, and you have a hairdressing salon down in Melbourne.
Correct.
And I feel like we really kind of connected throughout COVID. Is COVID something that really took you guys out of business for a while? Like, did that really hit you hard, especially because you were down in Melbourne as well? I feel like that state got absolutely
hammered,
right?
Yeah, I feel like Australia doesn't really, you talk about it to other states and they're like, yeah, whatevs. And we are traumatized. Like,
you have PTSD.
We're like, yeah, so we're coming out of it and we're like, yeah, well, you didn't go what we went through. But yeah, I think as a business owner, people often are shocked with how blasé I talk about it now because I've just pushed that down. Like, I don't want to swear, but that motherfucker can go down.
You need to bury that shit.
Yeah.
As a bad memory, right?
Right.
Yeah. I feel like it's going to be so funny. I feel like when, our children have kids, they're probably going to do, history lessons about COVID, right? Like, we would talk about, polio and stuff. I remember learning about polio in school and,
yes,
our grandkids will probably learn all about COVID.
Hello. My daughter thinks the garbage man was, her friend to say hello to.
I know.
She wanted me to buy her garbage trucks.
Oh, no.
That was her first toy, because that's what she saw, trucks and cars.
I know.
How
long was Melbourne locked down for?
Nearly 2 years.
Fuck.
Yeah, if you think about it in a whole on and off, but yeah, we didn't live for two and a half years, I feel.
I just remember when we kind of started getting little tastes of freedom, every time Melbourne would take one step forward and then five steps backwards and
you guys were bounding. I was like, come on, stop it, let us out.
I
was resenting Lisa for the text. Sometimes I was like, whatever, open the salon.
I was like, if you need to stop following me or mute me, you do what you have to do, right? So talk to me as a business owner. How did that, because obviously you own your own hairdressing salon, Sarah J and Co.
Yes.
Fucking nailed it. Again.
It's SJ and Co.
Oh, no.
It used to be Sari Jade once upon a time. So you were there.
Is your middle name Jade?
Yes.
Okay, lovely.
Yeah.
Whereabouts in Melbourne are you?
So I'm in an area called Northcote.
Yep.
So we were in Brunswick for 10 years prior, 10 plus, which is just around the corner, 10 minutes. And we relocated 6 months prior to COVID.
And you're probably relocating hoping to get all that foot traffic and all the surrounding.
All the things.
Oh, God.
And I was pregnant with my daughter.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, we locked down a month after. I think it was January I had Maya and then we locked down in March.
Wait, so January had Maya and then you've locked out in March. So Maya is a full-time COVID baby.
100%. She has post-trauma. There's things, people walk into the, she'll walk into a room and, not want to speak to anyone. And people are like, what's wrong with her?
Yeah.
Well, no, there's nothing wrong with her. She just went through a lot and she doesn't know what it's like to walk into rooms.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I've actually got a girlfriend of mine whose kid was born in the, a month after COVID started. And same thing, you got to realise, when I had Charlie and stuff, she was past the parcel. She was getting passed around. We were at barbecues and socializing. And so she's always been around that. She's familiar with it. And my girlfriend, she had her daughter in the middle of COVID and she didn't see anyone for ages.
You don't think about it in it. And now later on, I look at other mums, I'm like, oh, you get me, you get yeah. me. We just give each other the eye across the room like, my kid runs away from people too. They don't know how to say hello. They don't want to.
Of course. Well, they were just locked down. They just had you and your husband the whole time.
Yeah, and she's done really well to come out of that. But as a business, it was hard.
So how many staff did you have at the time?
So Brunswick, we had 14, and then we moved to Northcote. And in Northcote, I downsized to 4 staff, which was massive, which I was so excited about. I had this plan and, you know, we were meant to only come over with 3, but we stayed with 4 plus me. And then, COVID hit and I ended up with just 1 staff member by the end of it and myself.
And because you can't really, as a hairdresser, when you're really client-facing, it's not even like you can offer other services. Like, funnily enough, I was actually almost not more busier, but I feel like that's where my role as a content creator kind of really stepped up
amazing.
A notch.
Like, I think I was tuning into you because I needed to live through you.
Yeah, well,
you were my spirit animal. I was like, oh my God, I need this woman in my house.
Well, it was so funny. I was saying to a girlfriend, I actually had to go back through my old stories and I had to find, I was looking for something. I must have shared something and I remember being like, oh, it was back in COVID. And I was looking through all my old stories and I was just flicking through. It was back in 2020 or halfway through 2020. And I was watching, obviously my kids were a lot younger then, but I was like, wow, like I used to be really funny. Like obviously because there was nothing to do. And so like we were just at home. So I was like, let's try and find the humor to these situations. But also my kids were driving me mental, but I was on there and like Bobby would be streaking and Kobe would be running around nude and Kobe was in a big boy bed but was never sleeping in it. And I feel like by me sharing just the trivial bullshit that goes on in the home life, it kind of kept me relatively sane. And I feel like it was maybe somewhat entertaining for other people, especially people in Melbourne who hadn't even seen the sun in like bloody a year or something, right? But it's – so what I was trying to say is the social element and working with brands kind of kicked up a notch because I could do it from home. But as a hairdresser –
it was hard.
Just FYI, if anyone is looking for a fantastic hairdresser, Sarah is your girl. So it's just you and one other staff member.
Jason, we are currently looking for someone else.
Oh, you want like a senior stylist?
Yes, please. Colorist.
Is that what you asked for? A colorist or a stylist? Yeah,
we are predominantly colorists now. We used to be everything.
Yeah.
And we've just honed in on what we love and what we want to spend the rest of our lives doing. And that's color work and styling.
So talk me how you went from 14 down to 4. Was that a decision you've chosen to do?
Yes. I just found like, how do I put it? My ego had taken over and I thought I had to be this big, amazing salon that was making all this money, could attend all these things, could show everyone. It was all in my head, you know. No one really cared who the F I was. you know, like, but it's this industry that is about the show. And, you know, once I honed that in and George gave me the lectures, it pretty much said, are you 16 years old or are you 30? Like, but, yeah, I was – it wasn't really George that made it. He actually triggered me going, what am I doing? And it was interesting because once I got rid of all the staff and started focusing on my why, my how, you know, my regret of how I've probably treated people over the years in that egotistic person I was, and actually I saw someone about it and let all my feelings out and worked on me, I fell pregnant.
Oh, wow.
Naturally.
Oh, wow.
And we had a 1% chance.
Really? Yeah. That's so interesting. And I don't think it's just in hairdressing. I think it's in any field. Like even girlfriends of mine, they've got fashion labels, right? And it's all about, they almost, they see, especially on like socials and right, like it's about how many followers they have and what people are wearing, like what big influencers are wearing their brands. And it's almost like they view that as a sign of success.
Yes.
Where it's got nothing to do with that. They have been successful and they're doing just as many and turning over just as much profit even when they had one quarter of the amount of followers and X, Y, and Z people weren't wearing their clothes.
I agree.
It does. It becomes an ego thing, and it becomes a measurement of success when, in fact, it's not that at all.
No, and I really had to take a step back and realize that.
Yeah.
I actually think back going, how and where did I find the time to do that?
Again, my girlfriend in fashion, she's got like, I think it's about 12 different staff members, and half of her job is just managing the different personalities and the emotions, because predominantly female, and just dealing with just little things constantly, whereas similar situation, like when she just had her and her business partner and two other people, life was a little bit better and a little bit less stressful, and but they were still turning over just as much profit.
Yeah.
So I definitely think there's a lesson in there that bigger doesn't always mean better, right?
No, I agree. 100%.
Yeah. Having a newborn, just that alone, that in itself is so, it's such a big life stage and a big season for you to go through, let alone to do that without, you know, the support of family and friends. Oh, man, I do feel for you.
I feel like I have to do a big shout out to Lisa.
Yes.
Because she was my everything.
And she helped you, like, stay afloat.
Oh, my gosh, she just pulled me out of the deep and dark moments. And yeah. I don't think she'll ever realize how dark it was.
You know what? Lisa is, just a special shout out for you, Lise. Lisa is... She is fantastic at being your biggest cheerleader.
Oh, my God,
and
yes.
Pushing you when you don't feel like you can go any further or that you don't feel like you can do it. She kind of – she's really, really good at that. I think it's a special talent that she has.
I agree, 100%.
That's so nice. How did you and Lisa meet?
So we met at a L'Oreal conference in Byron Bay, and I was pregnant.
With Maya?
Yeah. So it was just before, like probably the start of when I just fell pregnant.
And how long have you and George been together?
Just under 10 years.
Wow, that's a long time.
Like
I haven't even been with Ryan for that long.
9, 8 years.
Yeah. And were you trying for a baby for a while?
We were.
Yeah.
So George and I met in eHarmony.
I love that.
We are the eHarmony.
Yes. I mean, I met Ryan through Instagram. I feel
my God, did you? I did not know that.
Yeah. Like, well, I met him. There was a sliding door moment where we literally crossed paths in the street. But if I hadn't already spoken to him on Instagram, I would have kept walking. But because we had that little interaction on Insta, we both recognised each other. Yeah, but everybody, if it's not Tinder, it's Facebook, or if it's Bumble, whatever. I love you, Harmony.
Yes.
That's nice. Okay.
So, yes, George proposed to me 6 months after we got together.
Amazing.
We were married within a year because we both realised I have endometriosis.
Yes.
And we both realised my clock was ticking.
Yep.
He was ready, I was ready. So in the midst of it all, we decided to do like a pre-IVF. We got everything checked.
Yep.
And we just went for it. We're probably 3 years trying, 4 years, I don't know. I don't even remember anymore.
Was this all IVF or just trying naturally?
No, it's the, you know, the pre-injections that you take.
It's like Clomid?
Yeah, like that.
To
yeah,
kind of help you
have
produce
to go
more
see
eggs?
Yes.
Yes.
So you have to see the doctor every week. You get
yes.
your little bag.
Yes.
He would get the little cooler bag and
yep.
walk home with it for me. We'd inject. And in the midst of all that, we renovated our home, like full knockdown, nearly.
Knockdown and rebuild almost?
Yeah. And, you know, gorgeous friends were going to America,
yep.
and we decided we needed to be away from everyone to really put our heart and soul into trying to fall pregnant.
Yes.
And we rented their property in Elwood, so which is like an hour away. So we're south side, north side is like beach side, north side. And we're like, yeah, we're going to try this. Well, it was just harder. Because
I was going to say, just
I was like,
your
I
life.
Don't know what I was thinking. The hormones must have already kicked in because God help us again. I don't know how we made it.
I am about to embark on a full renovation of our house,
oh God,
and I am fucking nervous.
I don't know how you're going to do it with three kids, babe.
No, we have to move out.
Okay, good.
Even that, I'm like, I need to find a short-term rental. But like, when am I going to go and look at rental properties? I don't have a spare second to scratch my ass. Like,
I hear you.
In the rental market in Sydney is so competitive. I was like, and then of course, if we're putting in an application for 6 months, they're not going to pick us over someone who wants a rental property for a year or two.
So we're going to do a call out right now. We need a rental.
Does anybody have a house in the Shire? It needs to be in the Shire because I need to be able to get the kids to school.
Come on.
you know, 4 months, potentially a bit longer. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to put something on my Instagram.
You have to.
Fuck it. What can't hurt, right? But we did a small renovation at our old house in Bangor. Small in comparison.
I think I watched it.
Yeah, in comparison to what we're about to do at Alfred's Point. And Ryan and I almost did not survive. Some of the biggest fights we've ever had when we renovate. Not with kids, not with anything. It's just renovating. I don't know what it is.
It's the money. It's everything. Yes. It's the pressure. It's the time.
It is. It's because I am like, let's do this and let's do this. And he is very like, this is our budget and you cannot go a dollar over.
George. Oh, my God.
So I would love to talk to you about endometriosis. I know that you have been on a little bit of a health journey recently yourself.
Yes.
Are you okay to talk about that?
Yes, I am.
The reason why I would love to really deep dive into this is because I've actually always been told I've got endometriosis.
Okay.
But
it's suspected?
Suspected, sorry. Uh-huh. Suspected, yep. By doctors.
Yeah. Heavy periods.
Really heavy periods, really a lot of pain.
Can I be frank?
Yeah, please.
When I watch your stories around that time of the month, yep, a lot of what you already have, I get triggered by it because I'm like, this is endo for sure. Like, I'm not a doctor. Don't ever say that I am. But, like, I've lived with the disease in my body since I was 14, probably prior, like, as soon as they say it can start from then. But diagnosed 16 for, you know, with a wanting to take it all out with a hysterectomy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, cancer back then was a big scare and they're like, that's all they knew.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm 43 in March and...
God, you look good.
Oh, my God, you're not.
It's so hot.
Stop it.
Stop that. You are.
We're on hormones right
now. I know.
But, you know, 20 plus years of suffering and I can understand everything and look back and go, fuck, I wish I'd changed things from then. I'm so glad I didn't get a hysterectomy, first of all.
Yep.
But... yeah, it's. I look at your cycle and I'm like, she needs help.
Yeah, I have actually been to a few different. I've been to like women's health people, and obviously I've been to a GP. I'm going to tell you what my cycle is like, and you can be like, this is what very similar to mine. So my hormones are crazy in the lead up, and then I usually will start, and then the first 3 days I am so heavy. I'm clotting. Mm-hmm. I'm going through a super tampon and a pad every hour.
Yeah, that's me.
The bloating is wild. Like, I'm two dress sizes up. My lower back kills. The cramps are really bad. But what I notice is I have this heaviness. And this has actually definitely gotten a lot worse since having children. But I get a incredible heaviness in my vagina.
Yeah.
And it's almost painful for me to stand for long periods of time.
And you get these pains in your legs.
Pains down my legs. This is really weird, but when I need to do a number two.
Yep. Sharp pains.
It's like I'm having contractions.
Yeah, it's fucked. Yeah. Sorry, am I not allowed to swear?
You're allowed to swear. You can say whatever you like on here. So how did you get diagnosed with it at 16?
So I think it was I went and had an ultra. I can't remember that far ago how I've seen that many doctors.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say that if it wasn't for my mum always making sure we had good medical practitioners in our lives and paying the extra.
Yeah.
Because we, you know, back then, who could afford a specialist?
Yeah.
Who could afford really good doctors? Mm-hmm. You know, and I do always think, thank God my mum had me in that mindset to always look after myself down there.
Absolutely.
You know, and she's always been my number one stand up for me in hospitals when people wouldn't say, like, my daughter is strong. She wouldn't be here unless she was not well.
I love her.
Yeah. It's I never forget those moments.
She's a big advocate for you.
Yeah. And women with endo, because she's telling these doctors, there's something wrong with my daughter. Don't just tell her she's got nothing wrong with her.
I used to have days off school when my periods would arrive. And
look, I wasn't allowed to do that.
Yeah.
I just had to get up and go. And it was always embarrassing.
And I always just thought, like, oh, this is just what periods are like. And this is just what I have to live with for the rest of my life.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
So what was a turning point for you? Like, did a GP finally take you seriously or?
Yeah, so it's weird. So it took me until 2 years ago to have a GP that I really connected with. Like, I've had lots of fabulous gynos over the years, great obstetrician, but the GP that sat me down, and his name is Dr. Silverstone. He's in Brunswick. He just had me hysterical. He pulled out a anatomy of a woman's body, pulled it all apart, and started showing me where all my he took all my files and literally read out everything I've been through in the last 20 years, my 10 plus surgeries, laparoscopies, colonoscopies, gastroscopies, endoscopies, all the things, cancer scares, like scrapes, and he put it all together and showed me where it was in my body. He said, I don't know how you stand every day.
Oh my gosh.
Because I've also chosen no medication the whole time, so I just use Nurofen.
Just like Nurofen. Is Nurofen the only thing that works for you?
And now I realize, because it's anti-inflammatory. Because now I've had a hysterectomy.
Yes.
And now I don't have it. I was like, oh my God, it makes me feel sick now when I take it. I don't know what to do anymore when I'm having hormonal moments.
Well, that was my next question. My mum actually had a hysterectomy as well. She had cervical cancer and she had the operation to remove it removed. So she had a hysterectomy and then they wanted to put her on hormone replacements and she said no.
Yeah.
Are you on hormone replacements?
Yes, I am. So I'm going to go to Dr. Silverstone and what he suggested.
Yes.
So he went through all the options of what I could do to fix it. But the main thing that I probably wanted to mention is that I had a horrible pregnancy with Maya and I just wanted to have the most beautiful pregnancy. I was so blessed to have her and I was like, I just want to feel good.
You want to be like so happy about
it. People would come and stand next to me, I would want to vomit. Yeah. George would be like, what is wrong with your smell? I would order four meals Uber Eats and he'd have to eat them all. He became bigger than me by the time I gave birth.
That's what most husbands do.
But it's what he said to me, Dr. Silvers. He said the same hormones that were growing Maya was growing your endo, your adenomyosis, fibrosis, everything in me was growing. So she really had not a lot of room in there to move. And that's why I was so sick all the time.
Oh, my God. So you had a hellish pregnancy.
Women who are sick after having endo, you're probably thinking back now going, how was I feeling through those moments? There's reasons why.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I'm having a weird light bulb moment, but I struggled incredibly through all of my pregnancies.
Yeah.
And my mom was like, I love being pregnant. I loved it. It was the most magical time. So I've gone into it being like, wow, I'm about to get pregnant. Like when I found out I was pregnant with Charlie, I was like, can't wait to be like a glowing goddess. And it was anything but that. I had a heinous time. And I was like, I am very lucky and I feel incredibly privileged to be able to carry a child and fall pregnant naturally, but I also hate this. Like,
I hear you.
So unwell every single day. I would get up and I'd be like, how am I going to get through till 7 p.m.? Like, it was like a mental ticker thing for me. Every single pregnancy, I struggled.
I agree. And yet,
but
I've only had one.
but I've got these people who love being pregnant. I was like, what was wrong with me? Am I just a massive pussy?
I get really jealous of those people. But no, you weren't. It was like everything I'd ever been through in life only 2.5 years ago was put into this is real.
Yeah.
It was always just like, oh, get on with it, get over it from bosses to, I would drag my ovaries on the ground to come to work.
Oh,
I'd be standing there, my legs would be shaking, I'd be pouring out with blood, blood clots, probably on their ground. And I'd be doing people's hair going, oh my God, I love you, like giving them everything to the point where now I have nothing left to give.
You want to have a nap in the corner? You can have a nap. I will let it go. I can hold this podcast until you wake up. I couldn't even fathom being a hairdresser and being on my feet when my period arrives. I've got to be on a 90-degree angle. I've got to be seated or lying down. Like
it's probably one of the driving forces of opening my own business.
Yeah?
Because I just didn't want to have to tell people why I couldn't be there or why I couldn't turn up.
You needed to have like those days.
Quiet moments.
Yeah.
Or where I just didn't have to explain to a boss why I couldn't, do what they were expecting on their KPIs for that day.
Oh, God. And you know what? I feel like if you did have your own customers and stuff and your own clients, predominantly they are probably women. And
they're
I'm
amazing.
Sure that everybody understood,
they're
right?
Amazing. And I've chosen who is accepting of it, you know. And it was just beautiful to then have Dr. Silverstone give me my options, recommend me to Melissa Cameron at the Epworth Women's.
Yep.
And she sat me down and she said, you have two options. You get a marina put in, which will come out pretty much in a day with the amount of blood that you lose.
Yep.
She goes, or you go away and think about this, and I'm about to go through this with you, which was a hysterectomy. And she didn't let me come back for 3 months.
Oh, okay.
She wanted me to really accept it
and
understand it and cry and work, because you're not just letting go of – you're not just taking your ovaries out or your uterus. You're letting go of every option you're ever going to have another child.
Yes.
You know, I might cry, sorry.
Oh, don't.
But I am okay with it. But yeah. I had to also make sure George was okay with it.
Yeah.
And everyone around me was okay with it, even though it's about me.
Oh, but that's – I mean, that's a beautiful trait.
You know,
right?
And
thinking of others, and
it's hard.
Of course, it is.
It is hard.
And is it? Were you, after you had Maya? Like, did you? Obviously, you had quite a hard pregnancy with her, and then had you had like a clean out of endometriosis before you fell pregnant with her?
We did prior. Oh God, I feel like it's all blurred together.
Yeah.
Like when we got married, I had a clean out to try and help us to get there, and I feel like I had another one. I'd have to ask George or look on my – I feel like I did, but I was in hospital all – I feel like all I ever did was go to hospital.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds horrific. But in and out?
Yeah.
Was it because your pain was so bad?
And I was – so I was getting iron infusions all the time. Like some days I was just – yeah. It was hard.
Were your periods irregular or quite regular?
No, very regular. Like clockwork. I'd have 5 full days of bleeding.
Yep.
Another 3 just random. Like I would have a suitcase and we'd go away half full of clothes for 2 sizes up and then 2 sizes down.
Your period clothes.
Yeah, because I never knew when it was going to happen either, especially traveling. And who wants to deal with that?
I have my period clothes and I've also got my period undies. My period undies are so big. They're like, they honestly look like Big B's undies.
Yes.
But they're so comfortable.
I threw them all away the other day.
Oh, did that feel good?
It was good. I
was
cried.
Was it a bittersweet moment?
Yeah, I kept one. I could do all of them.
Listen, I would probably keep all of them because they're so comfortable, right? But you're not the only person who said I would suspect that you have endometriosis. Is the only way to 100% confirm that there is endometriosis, is that through laparoscopic surgery?
No.
You can have an ultrasound?
Yeah, but a specialist has to do it.
Yeah.
So I didn't realise this for many years and I was paying the full price, $500+ for this ultrasound. It's a specialised ultrasound.
Yeah.
And if you request an endo or your GP requests or your specialist requests a endometriosis scan, whatever they are called, you will then be able to see it better and they can read it and then they tell your gyno.
The GP or the
your
gyno.
Yeah.
So
that is where you, like it, where it starts.
The thing with endometriosis, there is no cure, is it?
No, it's a suspected though when they do it.
Yes.
Like, you know, I think they call it lesions or, you know, do you have a bulky uterus? Is that what they call yours?
A bulky, yes. I have never had an endometriosis scan.
Oh.
I've just had my GP. My mum, love her to bits, but she was always like, Nurofen, Panadol, off you go. You deal with it.
My mum was the same.
Right? Like, you can just get on with it. Like,
yeah.
And
because that's how they were raised.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, they don't know any different.
Mate, my mum sent me to school consistently every single day with glandular fever until I fell asleep in maths class and then ended up in hospital for 6 weeks. Yeah. Because, again.
I'm trying hard not to do that.
Yeah. Because, again, right, like, it's like one of these things where you can't see it. You can't see it and. Same with glandular fever. You couldn't see it. It was just like me being like, I'm so tired. And I just look like a lazy turd. But I'm actually struggling with glandular fever.
Darling.
And same with, you know, even my husband. I get my periods and he's like, oh, you're right. You're right on the lounge there. And I'm like, do you want to fucking die? Like every month we have blow ups, right?
Yeah, of course.
But I think the thing is, in my head, I'm kind of like, let's say I go and get the scan and it's showing up bulky uterus and lesions and whatnot, and then I go and have surgery to kind of have a a proper look, and if there is, they'll do a big scrape out and what. Aside from that, is it kind of having clean outs or a hysterectomy to get rid of it?
Well, the big bomb is a hysterectomy will never get rid of endo.
Wait, so yours could come back?
Yeah. So next Friday I'm having a scan for that to make sure that it's not spreading. So after the hysterectomy, so go forward a year and a half to 2 years, I think, since I met Dr. Silverstone, then Melissa. So 3 months in, then George chatted with Melissa, asked all his questions.
Yep.
And then I think 3 months later we were booked in. I had to make sure the business could handle it because I was away for 8 weeks.
I was going to say, is that really hard surgery to recover from?
Yeah. And I would say I was pretty fit in comparison to a lot of women who've had it done.
Yep.
It changes. Like, I've had a cesarean. I've had that surgery. And I was like, oh, I think that was the hardest part. People were like, oh, it's just like a cesarean. You'll be right. Mm. It's nothing like a cesarean. You don't have the child at the end to get you through, first of all. And then they're cutting through the same bits that they've already cut through. And then they're taking something out of you.
And not putting anything back.
Nothing. So everything's collapsing in there. Your bladder, it's all, like, moving around with big cuts and it's all fun up in there.
I distinctly remember when my mum had one. I remember her recovery, and I remember obviously she was in bed for a couple of weeks, but I remember her being really sad. And I remember she said to me, like, I'm no longer a woman. Yeah. And I was like, well, I mean, you are. But she's like, all my internal parts that make me female are gone.
Yeah. And I get that.
Yeah. And I mean, I understand
that. I just
that.
Actually felt her pain right then, because there was a moment where Maya walked into the toilet and I was changing. She was just staring at my underwear. And I was like, what? Like, this is my 3-year-old. Yeah. I was like, Maya, what's wrong, darling? She goes, Mummy, where's the blood? And it was a moment that I was just like, oh, we're never going to share that moment again, like ever. When's your blood coming, Mummy?
I mean, like, I have an audience every...
I know, that's the weirdest.
No, it's not.
I know, but it was like that slap across the face moment of, I've lost my womanhood with her. But I flipped to myself and I said, but I will share it in her moments.
Yeah, yeah, you will.
I will not photograph her, though, with her pad all around Australia.
You remember that story?
Bing,
bing. Oh, my God. That is so good. I will quickly tell the listeners so they know what we're talking about.
I
was on a plane and I had left Alice Springs and we were arriving in Cairns, and I remember I went to the I felt something in my pants and I went to the toilet on the plane, and there was this like brown mucky stuff, and I was like, oh God, is that a skid mark? I didn't realise what had happened, and didn't say anything, got to the airport, and then we were on our way driving out to the rainforest of all places, and I just felt this stuff coming out, and I said, I need a toilet, like, can we stop at a petrol station or whatever? And I went into the toilet and it was my period. It had hit. I must have been 13, and it was a murder scene in my pants. And I was like, Mom, and she came in and she went out and she came in, she got me some pads. She put some toilet paper there and then I got some pads, and then my dad was like, boys, huddle round. And we all huddled around. It's so corny. And then he goes, today your sister has become a woman.
Oh,
I was like, what the fuck was I before?
No, what were you?
What was I? Well, I was just a child in his eyes. And then I have the photo with me and my brothers. I'm pretty sure I burnt it, just in case anyone got a hold of it. And it's, I am holding the packet of pads on display, like a small trophy. And I look like a boy with like these like puffy little nipples and all my puppy fat. And it's atrocious. But anyway, you can do that moment for your daughter. My boys, they like to watch me every single time.
Oh,
I have no privacy in my house. There's no locks on any doors. And so often on my monthly bleeds, I have an audience when I'm changing a tampon.
Oh, God, babe.
And they're like, what? What is going on? And I'm just like, guys, you don't need to see this. Mummy's got her period. And I'm trying to explain to a 4-year-old, and it's just going in one ear and out the other. Oh, so wait, the silver lining is that you now no longer get any... any period.
Do you know, after we had the hysterectomy, I say we because if it wasn't for George backing me with Maya, it was really hard. Like my gyno explained to me things like to have a pillow made, you know, and girlfriends bought those pillows to the salon for me. So when Maya hugged me, she wasn't because she would want to hug me. Like she thought that far ahead for us, like her nurse, her and her, like she was amazing. She was thorough. Yeah. But she also said this is a full body disease.
Yeah.
There's, you know, suspected that it's in like areas like my nose, my, my hips, my lungs. It could be everywhere. Like you just have to go with it, yeah?
See, I've never heard that before. I know endometriosis is usually in the cervix and around your ovaries and stuff. I've never heard that you can get it in your nose.
Yeah. And it makes sense why it happened to me in my nose, which they call it a nodule.
Yeah.
So what happened, and I didn't know any, I didn't put two and two together till I spoke to my gyno about it and my GP, and they said, yeah, probably was, because when I was pregnant with May, I was just walking in David Jones up the, going up the escalators.
Don't tell me your nose bleed.
I didn't even know it was bleeding. It was clots though.
But wait, I
just pouring out onto my white t-shirt while I'm eating with a big fat belly.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck? It's like blood everywhere. I didn't even know.
Oh my God. Because I, in my pregnancy with Charlie, every day my nose would bleed.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
You need to go and see someone.
So to the point where, like, I remember I used to get on the bus and at some points I wasn't even showing and I was like, I am sure people think that I'm some sort of, like, coke addict, some street junkie or something that's jumped on the bus and is having a nosebleed.
He's going to go, no way, these two.
Oh my gosh. And I just thought that was a symptom of pregnancy.
Yeah, so did I. Well, I didn't know what it was. I was like, never had a blood nose in my life. All of a sudden I've got
neither
a blood.
Neither have I. Oh, my God. Imagine I go and have my ultrasound. They're like, you have endometriosis everywhere.
Are you a bit scared to have it done because of that?
I'm not scared. I would rather...
I need to know so I can plan and get things done, or are you a, I don't have time for that
bury my head
right
in
now.
The sand? Yep. No, I know too many bury their heads in the sand people, and I don't want to be that person. I would love to have that scan so I can get on the front foot about it.
Yeah, I think it would be great and liberating for you too. And it'll answer a lot of things.
Oh my God.
Because you just feel alone sometimes.
You know what I feel like? I feel like I've been made to feel like a bit of a whinger. I've been made to feel like, I'm carrying on.
Yeah.
And I'm...
I hate that.
I hate it as well because I personally feel like I'm a pretty tough cookie and I get on with a lot of things, majority of things that get thrown at me and, you know, I recover from birth and injuries and stuff. But, like, my period floors me. For, like, the first 2-3 days, I'm battling.
Was like that too, 100%. And so fast forward, had hysterectomy. The last 4 months, getting back to packing. So we decided, I went back to work and after 8 weeks, we would go on a family holiday.
Nice.
We went to Exmouth. And can I tell you, I have never been so excited to pack a suitcase so lightly in my life. Firstly, you didn't have to take anything.
No period undies.
It is not a culinary destination, let me tell you. Okay. And I loved that. I actually loved it. But no period stuff, no anything. I stayed the same size the whole time, even in the heat. I was like, who am I?
So, like, there's no body fluctuations. What about hormones? Like, what's your moods like?
So everything was fine. Fast forward to December and I was crazy at work. It was hectic.
Of course.
We were all ramped up at that time. And I started feeling like hormonal, like my hot flashes are probably really next level.
Yeah.
And the smell that you get, I don't like smells. Like,
yeah, I'm a non-smell person as well. Like,
I don't like to smell myself ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the smell. It was my mum's birthday. We're all away. And it felt like my neck couldn't come, was going to fall off my body.
Sore?
Yeah. So what had happened, my hormones had kicked in so much that I was in full-blown menopause. I had aches, joint pains, my bones were brittle, heart palpitations, couldn't sleep on my left side, headaches.
Well, this is what I was going to ask you. Having a hysterectomy, does that push you straight into menopause?
Well, yeah, normally you do. My gyno was so, God bless her, wanted to give me the utmost chance of not heading into menopause straight away. Only because of the endo, trying not to take HRT too much because it also can grow the endo.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a hormone. Yep. So you've got to remember the estrogen will start pushing it.
Yep.
So, yeah, I feel like I've learned so much through this process.
No, and
things that I want to share with the world.
Yeah, and I think it's so good. Like, sharing what you've been through and being vulnerable about it, I feel like is probably going to help so many. Like, look at me. All of these things that you've just listed are all things that I have gone through. And I've never really investigated it further because I've just been made to feel like you just got to get on with it. But
and I'm sorry you've gone through that. Like, it just breaks my heart. I actually get really defensive. I don't know what happened to me along the way in the last few years, but I listen to even family members putting other family members down about their children. Oh, they're just a sook. That person's a sook.
Yeah.
And I die on the inside wanting to lose my shit at them,
yeah,
knowing that I can't because I'll never understand.
Mm-hmm.
I've learnt this over the years.
Yeah.
We're like a special little unity of people that understand each other.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's hard. I want to get that person and hug them and send them in the right direction.
Well, I think it's really nice that you are sharing your story because you put some things up on your Instagram, didn't you?
That was very hard and
yeah,
I was very vulnerable.
Yep.
Lisa was like, I'm so proud of you. And yeah, she didn't even prompt that. I just found
it. You did it on your own.
Found it deep down inside because I was like, okay, if I don't do it now. And can I say my DMs blew up?
Blew
I don't
up.
Know what that's about, but now I do.
But I feel like all it takes is one person to start a conversation, especially on a subject that is, you know, not spoken about as frequently and as often as it definitely should be. And it literally takes one person to open up the door of conversation and then you will. No wonder your DMs got flooded.
Yeah, it was really a beautiful experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, next week I'm like, oh, can I be bothered going and sharing it all about the next stage? And,
yeah,
you know, I'm a week into HRT.
Oh, you are?
So I started.
Started a week ago.
Yeah. And I can tell you the ups and downs of that.
Yes.
I woke up like with no eyes one of the mornings.
Puffy?
Like, I was so puffy.
Oh, no.
But I was like, oh, what's this gel going to do? And I literally was having a conversation with my other girlfriend who'd already started it. And
yep,
she went onto the gel. And I was like, what's the gel going to do? Get the patch. Like,
so
but
what,
now I'm on the gel.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this gel does a lot.
So what? Where do you put it?
So I was like, that was what I said.
Yeah.
I was like to her, where do I put this? Am
yeah,
I meant to go in with
yeah,
it? She's like laughing at me. And she goes, no, you rip the packet open and you put it into both your hands and you rub it in your inner, like towards
your vagina.
Yeah.
Yep. In your, like, the creases there.
Yeah. Like just in your upper thigh.
Oh.
That's it.
Every day?
Every day.
And so will you take that forever?
I think because my bloods are showing that I'm in full menopause.
Yeah.
So, which was really full on because she suspected I would be but didn't think it would happen this quickly.
This quickly.
Yeah.
Yep. I'll never forget driving my mum to the station. This was after she had – similar thing happened. She had her hysterectomy and it pushed her straight into menopause, but like intense menopause.
How did she go without hormone replacement?
I don't know. She – made the decision, well, sorry, she didn't make the decision. It was made for her. They hadn't cleaned up all the cancer in her cervix, so they just were like, let's just get rid of it,
oh,
safest
darling,
bet.
Yep.
And her recovery was brutal, and she was really sad for some time. And then when the menopause hit, she was a crazy woman. Like, she was crazy, and you just had to take her with a grain of salt. I remember driving to the train station with her one day, and I was driving in the middle of winter, and it was freezing. And she was like, open all the windows. And she was removing her jacket. She'd taken her shirt off. I was like, please, God, not the bra. Don't take the bra off. Like, she was just sitting there. So her hair was slicked to her face.
Oh, my gosh.
And she was absolutely oozing sweat. And I was, like, sitting there with my heat warmer on. I was freezing cold. And I was like, what is going on? And anyway, it was a period, and I mean, we all go through it as women.
Look,
she obviously.
My poor husband at nighttime, I sometimes wonder if he has a doodle anymore because it's that cold. It's probably gone back up in him. And he tries to do what Ryan does, you know, with the whole making everything logistic, you have to do it this way. He's like, I don't understand why it needs to be so cold in here. I can't fucking breathe, mate. I actually feel like I am suffocating. I can't explain it anymore.
So you've got the aircon on 11 degrees.
And then he still is like, yes, but the room is set to this. So if you go any colder, it's not, and I don't give a fuck. It
You're
makes
like,
me feel better.
I need to live in an igloo for the next couple of months. Okay, George? Don't look at the electricity bill. Oh, yeah, I am not looking forward to
no,
menopause.
But look, and going back to what I would share, I think I want to share about what that journey is on HRT, because we didn't start straight away because there's always a breast cancer risk when you have a hysterectomy. Your hormones flood everywhere. So then they test you for that, especially being young.
Yes. Do they test to make sure you don't have the BRCA gene?
Yeah. Because it does surge everything straight away. Yes. Yeah, and then they test you everywhere pretty much for cancer.
Well, that's good.
Because you're just walking around like a big cancer.
Yeah, but that's so good. Like, you must feel good that...
I think when she came in and, you know, she was just so caring all the time and even delivering that information. I don't think anyone can ever understand when you're waiting for results and it's it's a cancer wait.
Yeah.
How you feel in those moments. And endo women would be there a lot.
Yeah.
And we're just, brush it off.
Yep. So you've gotten that news and she was like, you're all okay for
I'm
now?
I'm all okay for now. So last week we went through all my checkups, my 6-monthly checkup. She got me onto HRT because she could see I was vertigo, vomiting. Oh. It was like I was pregnant again, but worse.
Yeah.
Fast forward, I'm feeling great. Next Friday we'll have my scan to see if any endos come back because I have been having the feelings again.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, this is weird. Is this my period? Am I having like moments? So it can happen. And so if it does, I don't know the next stage what we'd do because I don't really want to just keep getting...
clean outs and scrapes and all that kind
so
of stuff.
I've had so many and I've got so much scar tissue now. Yeah, it would be a whole nother... Let's sit down and navigate through this.
I'll definitely check in with you because I'd love to know like what she would recommend moving forward. Like, let's say your endo has come back. Like, are there options after that?
Yeah, there's lots of options. I don't know if you follow the Endo Runner.
No.
She's a really gorgeous...
She's a runner.
Yeah.
With endo.
Yeah.
Wow.
And she's amazing. She's had a hysterectomy too.
Uh-huh.
And she still has things happening. And she's amazing to follow. Mm-hmm. Endometriosis Australia. They are so fabulous.
Yeah.
But I really want you to go get checked out as well.
Yeah, I would love to. My last conversation was about periods. I actually went and saw a naturopath as well just to try and help with the hormones.
Yep, I had one too.
The last... GP visit I had, I also had my bloods done and I had an iron transfusion because I'm low on iron all the time now. And she was kind of like, we can investigate it further, try and do... I mentioned that I was getting this big screening with the naturopath and stuff. I actually feel like I'm going to have to be the one that pushes her and prompts her. And I almost have to go in there and be like, hey, this is what I want. I want a ultrasound, like an endometriosis ultrasound. I want to go to the next step to kind of see what's going on inside.
Wow. Yeah, I think you need to push for that.
Yeah. Would you recommend going to like a gynecologist?
Yes.
Because
specializing in women's health, specializing endo and abdo, because I feel like you have it on your bowel and your stomach.
Yeah. I feel like you have inspired me to do some further digging.
I'm a part of this group called the Modern Marketing Collective with Emily Osmond.
Yep.
And in that is two women from Sydney that specialise in women's health.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll flip you some... I'll flip you?
Flip me. Just flip me off, yeah? You'll flip me their contact?
Yeah, I'll reach out and see if they know anyone as well because they are fabulous humans.
If they could... Yeah, I'd love to get a recommendation in Sydney for somebody who specialises in that. That would be...
I think that's the start.
Yeah. Okay, well, listen, I am incredibly grateful for you for not only one, flying up here, but two, for being so open and vulnerable and sharing your story with us. You have absolutely inspired me. I don't even know. I don't know if inspired is the right word. You've absolutely... put a rocket up my butt, and I do. I really do want to do some deep diving and investigate further because it's not a great way to live, to be honest. Like,
no.
just
when he did the stats, my doctor, on how many days I was suffering, it outweighed the good days.
Oh, really?
So just maybe start writing things down. And I'd actually documented in a app for three years.
Oh, wow.
And it did show the same thing he said. But I just hadn't seen it.
Yeah.
I just was getting on with it.
And I feel like there must be so many women out there who do the same thing.
Yeah, they just like push it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I feel like this episode alone is going to be so helpful or just even educational for other women who like me, potentially going through some stuff and haven't really acknowledged or realized that maybe there are bigger things at play here,
yeah,
and things that we can, you know, try and jump on the front foot and be on top of and whatnot.
Yeah. As a woman, just start living again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not just part-time.
I'm really fucking good 2 weeks of the month and then I'm not so good.
And it's sad, isn't it?
That's sad.
What, half the year we are not living.
Yeah.
Imagine what we could get done with that rest.
When you look at it like that, that is quite depressing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
All right, my gorgeous.
You're amazing. Thank you so much.
I want to thank you for inviting me on this and allowing me and giving me that energy to be so open, because I probably wouldn't share it with just everyone. So thank you.
I do like to really get in there and open people up. Wow, that light looked inappropriate what
We've
I was doing
some
with my hands
very
there.
Very big open moments today, haven't we?
I love you and I am so grateful
love
that you
too.
Are here. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
I'll put Sarah's handle down. If you're in Melbourne, I'm going to put a shop down. If you're looking for a new hairdresser or if you're a senior colourist and you want a job, I'm going to put all her details in the show notes and you can have a chat. You can slide into her DMs if you feel like you want to chat to a lovely, lovely, beautiful woman. Bye-bye. Mwah.